Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask, Father, please, that you will hear what you have for us to hear in this message, that you help us to walk away with clarity, that we'll walk away with an understanding from you, not only that we need, but that we know that you have specifically revealed to each one of us. I pray that you will just touch our hearts by your Spirit. May that unity, that love, that awareness of your presence here be noted in our hearts and our spirit. And may you, Father, be pleased with each of our hearts, and may you be glorified. Now carry this message, present it, preach it, and bless it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is part two of our miracle series of messages, and it's called Stuck. We have is there a picture going up there on that? Yeah. Anybody remember that? That was in 2020 when the roller coaster stopped. There were about 20 people hanging upside down for an hour on the roller coaster. And I would not like to be there. I would not even want to imagine doing that. That was an awful situation to be in, and it wasn't their fault at all, of course, but they were stuck there. And I want to talk about being stuck. You ever feel stuck in your life at times? Stuck in a rut, as you've heard the expression, or stuck in a situation where you don't know how you're going to get out of it or manage by it? There's a guy, a pastor, he's a director of prayer conferences within our convention. His name's Jerry, and he had mentioned this morning on Facebook about trusting God to pave the way, to pave the way. And I remember I texted him back, or I wrote back. I said, I see the path, but on the path I see the brush that's covering the path, but I'm going to rely on God to cut back the brush so I can walk the path. In other words, he's going to organize things. I don't have to be stuck at looking at that path and go, I see the path God wants me on, but I see all these obstacles, and therefore I'm stuck. We don't have to stay in that stuck position. We call out to God, like the kids had said, we call out to God for help, for instruction, for wisdom. That's what we need to do, call on our Father to help us to get out of those stuck positions, if you will. There was a guy in China who got his arm stuck in the toilet. They don't have American toilets. Their toilets are just a hole in the floor. But his arm got stuck there because he dropped his phone in there. And so he was trying to get his phone out, and his arm went all the way down up to his armpit, all the way down, and he got stuck. So the firemen had to come and rescue him. So the point is, obviously, is that we get stuck in situations. The roller coaster, this guy there, I don't think any of us will do that. But we get stuck, but we don't know how to get out of the stuck situation. But we do know that we can trust in God for that, and God will show us the right answers. It's like with the book on top of Tegan's head. It was saying, like, you can't do it this way, but then we ask God, God, help me to figure out how to carry this book on my head. And then there's, put the towel on her head, and it worked, right? And so God will show us things that maybe we didn't think about that will help us to get out of those stuck situations, all right? There's a man, I want to talk about a man in the Bible that was stuck in a situation. He was looking at the wrong direction to resolve his situation. And I'm sure many of us are familiar with this, but it's in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And let's go ahead and read that. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Now it was like a trapezoid. Now Steve, you correct me if I'm wrong, but a trapezoid is kind of like a rectangle, but one end of the rectangle is longer and the other end is shorter, like a trapezoid. Is that correct? Thank you. Whew. Got it. And then in this particular pool, it was shaped like a trapezoid, and then in the middle was a wall that divided it. And then wherever there was a wall around the perimeter or in the middle, there were porches. And people would go to this pool and sit under these covered porches along the walls waiting for the water to stir. And that's what we're looking at here. In verse 3 it says, and these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And so they're looking for a way to resolve their situation that they're stuck in. They're looking at their health issue, and they're saying, God, they're not even calling to God. They're just saying, I'm going to look at this pool, and this pool is a pagan pool, and it was just something that people would go to, and hopes to be healed by it. In verse 4, it says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." The interesting thing about that verse is that it's not found in the New Testament Greek. It's not found in the Latin Bible. It's not found in many ancient manuscripts. And it's thought to have been added just as a source of maybe this is how it worked. But the idea here in this passage is that the people were looking to the pool instead of whom? God. And so they were looking to the wrong means to try to correct their situation. But in verse 5, it says, "Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. So this guy was sick for 38 years. I can relate to my brother who was sick for 16 years with epilepsy and brain damage and all the things that it did to his body and all those type of things. And so I can kind of look at this guy and say, man, 38 years, he was stuck in that situation. And so it was a large pool, like I said, with five porches, four on each side, one across the middle. And all of them would sit under these porches and watch the water and wait for it to stir. The problem was that it wasn't on a schedule. It wasn't saying, well, every Sabbath at 10 a.m., the water's going to stir. It was whenever, randomly. And so they had to watch intently at that pool waiting for the water to stir. And then when it did, they would put their hand, the first one to put their hand or foot or body in the water, it said that they were healed. Okay? So a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years, right? And he was looking for those healing powers to enable him to walk. But think for a minute. You're sitting along the wall, on a porch, next to water, waiting for it to move so you can get into it, so you can be healed. And he was there 38 years. Okay? 38 years. Sometimes people sat around these areas because they thought as handicapped people was the best area to sit because people would come that were healthy and pay them money and give them money to the poor. And so it was a way to make a living as well. Maybe that's why he was there 38 years. Maybe not. Maybe he didn't have any family to help him. You know, whatever the circumstance was, he was there for 38 years. Would you think in 38 years you could have moved at least an inch a year, an inch a day? You think maybe he would have worked his way up to getting there? Because he had his arms, pull himself to the water. So he determined to say, "I can't get to the water. And that's my only hope. And so I'm stuck in this situation." And in his mind, he didn't know how to get out of it. He didn't know how to get out at all. And so the problem wasn't that he was paralyzed. It was that he was stuck in his life in this manner. He was stuck in a lack of faith, if you will. He was stuck and not going anywhere. And when I say lack of faith, he was putting faith in the water, but he wasn't putting faith in whom? God. And so when we're in that stuck situation, we need to look to God and say, "God, I'm stuck. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know how I'm going to get around it. I don't know how I can't. Everywhere I think in my head to resolve, it's blocked. I don't know how to resolve my situation." And as God's people, we need to turn to God and say, "God, show me the way." And he will, because God is compassionate. And he will have compassion on us because he had compassion on the man. He didn't go to the man and say, "Hey, man, you've been here 38 years. You could have figured out your way to the water in all those years." He didn't say, "You're not using your brain." He didn't rebuke him and say, "Why are you putting your hope and faith in this water being stirred? Why aren't you calling on God?" He didn't put him in his place, so to speak. He came with compassion to touch his heart, to bless him, and to heal him. And so God knows where we are, and God knows what we need. I'm not saying logistically where we are. Obviously, he knows that. But he knows where we are in our life situation. He knows every burden that we have. He knows that there are things that we can't change in our own power. There are things that are beyond our control, things that we have to look to God and say, "God, give me grace for this. God, enable me to endure this. God, show me the path that you have for me through this difficulty." And what we should be also doing is saying, "God, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be in a situation where you want to teach me. where you want to show me your compassion, where you want to instruct me, where you want me to gain wisdom and knowledge on how to work through the challenge that seems like it cannot be conquered. So in Matthew 9, 35 and 36, it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We have a compassionate Lord who can heal every disease, right? He can heal our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual needs, and he can help us get unstuck in our lives. In other words, what that's saying is that our God gives us hope. Our God gives us encouragement. Our God gives us comfort by his compassion, and we can rely on him. So let's go back to the pool and let's see and be reminded of what Jesus did. In John 5, 6 and 7, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? No disrespect, but you might say, duh. Right? That's why he's there. But Jesus is really trying to step in further. Why are you still in this situation? Why has it not changed in 38 years? Why are you stuck here, right? Notice what verse 6 says. Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. So Jesus asking the question made him to think, well, why am I here? That's the point. He's trying to shake him up and say, I know you've been here 38 years, and I know you want to be healed, but I want you to think, man, why are you in this situation? Why haven't you taken the steps to get out of this situation? And of course, the man answered him in verse 7, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. It's interesting, I didn't catch that as I was studying this, but he says, while I am coming. In other words, he's dragging himself to get to the pool, but he never makes it there in time. I don't know if there was a stop line, a red line. Everybody stays at this line, and when the water stirs, it says, go. That makes sense. And I'm thinking, why didn't he just move himself along to the right place where he can get in a better situation to maybe accomplish what his desire was, and that was to be well? Jesus asked him plainly that question, do you want to be well? I think you and I need to ask that question. If we're stuck in a situation that we're out of control of, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in whatever case, if we find ourselves staying there, wallowing there, being overcome by that situation, then we have to ask ourselves, like Jesus asked, why are you here? What is your desire? What is your purpose? And start investigating our hearts down deep for who we are and be honest with ourselves. And then when we are honest with ourselves and we look to God and say, God, I'm here because I've given up. I'm here because I choose this life. And we can fill in the blanks any way we want to, but we should be seeking after God. You see, this man was a Jewish man at a pagan pool. He was a Jewish man that was practicing what the pagan Gentiles were doing. And he was seeking a miracle from the pagan principles and not that of God. Like this man, we can get stuck in our problems and not making any progress forward in our lives or faith. And like I've already said, ask yourself this question. Are you in a place where you feel stuck? You may not be, but you might be. Or maybe you will be later. And how will you handle it? And the answer is clear that we look to Jesus. We look to him to show us the way, to give us the wisdom. Scripture says that if we ask for wisdom and understanding, that he'll give it to us liberally. We don't have to be in a stupor. We can ask God for counsel and direction. In a way, this man was like the Israelites in the desert for 40 years, wandering around in sin, not resolving their situation, getting right with God, and living underneath the situation because of their sin in their life. God's the only one that can meet our needs. He's the only one that can heal us. He's the only one that can meet all of our problems, take care of our problems. I like to say it this way, that God already has the resolve for the problem that we're facing. We're not waiting for God to figure it out so he can tell us. God already knows what the resolve is. And so we can trust him with that. And then trusting him and looking to him and following him and calling on his name, then we can discover the direction that he has for us that will move us forward and to make progress in our lives. God can guide us and give us answers on what to do to get unstuck. It starts with asking him for his wisdom. We're in our situations in life, and we need to constantly call on God. We need to rely on God and say, God, I need you to help me. We need to be in prayer and talk to God about everything. I'll tell you what, if we take the time to go to God in prayer, privately, obviously, and we just start talking to him about whatever comes to our mind, start off that way. And you'll be surprised how many things start interjecting in your mind that's a burden on you. And you start talking about each thing to the Lord. And sometimes I've done that where it's like a barrage, just constantly this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought, talk about, talk about, talk about, and I'll exhaust myself until I can't think about anything else. But if we do that, we're laying those burdens down before God at his throne. And we're asking him, in whatever circumstance each of those burdens are, for instruction or wisdom or direction or counsel, or just simply to lift the burden off of us. And if we do that, we'll find ourselves gaining not only a sense of inner core peace in our spirit, but we'll also be aware that much more of the very presence of God working these things in and through our lives. And we'll feel closer to the Lord as well. And so it's so important for us to call on God. So important for us to lay down every issue before him. So important. And as we do that, we're depending upon him. We're not looking anywhere else. We're not looking at a pool of water like this man that was crippled for 38 years. We're not looking at our own rationale and our own resolve. We're not looking at a sense of hopelessness. We're looking at hope. We're looking at the hope of Jesus, who is Lord of our life, that we can look to him and say, God, show me the way. Don't let me be stuck here in this situation. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I think that's so cool that we can go to God Almighty on his throne, creator of heaven and earth, that we look at him in his deity and he seems unapproachable, and yet we look to him as our heavenly Father, like I said last week, and he's extremely near. And we can go to him and we say, you're the creator of everything that there is. You're God Almighty. Nothing's hid from your mind. And I'm your child and you're my father and I'm going to you. And I'm saying, I need your help. I need you to instruct me. I need your wisdom. I need your counsel. I need some understanding. I need some direction. I need you to clear the path. I need you to break through the barriers. I need you. And as we rely on him that way with a very, I'm going to say, a filleted open heart. You know what I mean by filleted open heart? Fillet a fish, open up the fish, right? It's exposing all that we are before God, talking to him about ourselves, laying ourselves before him, and saying, this is me, I need your help. And in that, we will find that God will help us, and we're growing our faith, and we'll see our life circumstance begin to change, and we'll make progress, and we'll move forward. Like, again, the simple illustration with the kids. They learn how to walk with a book on their head. Or they learn how to blow a double bubble. You know? I can imagine as a kid maybe saying, God, will you help me blow that double bubble? And you say, how silly that is, you know? You're talking to God. You know, I want to tell you something. It's not silly at any age to call on God for any issue. Because our priorities at our time in life, or whatever they are, no matter if they're silly to others or not, we're still calling on our Heavenly Father. And in doing so, he loves that. And then as we listen to him, he instructs us, and he shows us the way. What happened to the man? You know the story, but in John 5:8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. You see, Jesus saw him, and he knew his situation, asked him an obvious question, do you want to be healed? Do you want to walk, right? And of course the man did, but the man's now his attention went from away from his excuse. It went from, well, the water's there, and when it stirs, I can't get there quick enough, and somebody else gets there before me, and I've been stuck in this rut for 38 years. His focus wasn't there anymore. That's what happens. We get focused on our situation so much that we're not willing to look to God and see what God wants us to do. But God got his attention out of his compassion and redirected his focus on him, on Jesus. And Jesus simply said, he gave the instruction. He gave the wisdom. You see, when we go to God and we talk about everything and we want him to give us understanding and wisdom, be ready when he tells us what to do. It might be something that will be a challenge that requires faith. We have to exercise our faith. God wants us to do that because it displays his power in our life. So Jesus tells him, get up and walk, right? Rise, take up your bed and walk. And by faith, hearing what Jesus said, he believed in Jesus, and he got up and he walked. Simple as that. And so we're in a situation that's blocked, and we ask God what to do, and he tells us what to do, and by faith we do it. We simply see ourselves getting out of that situation and moving forward. That's God's blessing. And that's where our faith increases. Sometimes a miracle in our life that helps us get unstuck starts with listening to God's instructions and then taking action. We need to be attentive to what God leads us to do and responsive to him in faith and obedience and experience the power of God in our life. I love experiencing the power of God. I love it when, and I'm sure you do too, when we can sense the very power of God intervening. I'm going to share the story about Chris, can I? That, you know, the other day, and I always go over on Tuesday at lunchtime and eat with my wife. The other ladies are there too, but I eat lunch with my wife. And so Debbie had got a call that her sister and her nephew were very, very, very sick. So much so that the nephew was saying, I just want to die. And they were so distraught and so overwhelmed by it, they couldn't see beyond their situation. They just couldn't see it. They were in desperateness. They didn't see the hope of getting out of the situation. But Debbie's sister said, can we pray? Or did she ask for prayer? Or did you? She asked for prayer. And so all of us that were there at lunchtime, we got in a circle, we held hands, and we prayed while Debbie held the phone out, and her sister could hear the prayer, and so could her nephew. And we prayed that God would intervene, that God would give hope, that God would bring healing, that God would start moving in a way to alleviate this pain and this anxiety and this situation that they were facing. And within that day, things changed quickly. And they acknowledged God. That's what God wants for us to do. Thank you for letting me share that. God wants us to rely on him with such focus that when we respond to what he leads us to do, we experience the power of God working in our life. And what that does, it brings glory and honor to God, and it increases our faith in him. And we grow in him, and we move forward out of that stuck situation to the direction that God wants us to go. Their faith is growing. Her sister's a Christian, and her faith is growing. She's bold. Debbie's nephew, it's in question whether he's a Christian or not, but he's experiencing God's intervention. And so sometimes a miracle in our life that helps us get unstuck starts with listening to God's instructions and then taking action. I just want to reinforce that again. In John 5:9, it says, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. It's like the light bulb going off. Immediately God told me the answer and I knew which way to go to get out of that stuck situation. That's a cool experience. It's cool when we're so burdened down about something and something is so big that we cannot manage ourselves through it. But when we cry out to God, our Father in heaven, and I don't quotate that meaning that he's not. I'm just saying to focus that when we call out on our God, our Father in heaven, and we seek him out and we earnestly listen to him and he tells us what to do, and we see when he tells us what to do, it's like, there's the path. There's the avenue. There's how God's going to take care of it. And sometimes God will say, I want you to just sit tight and trust me. And we sit tight and we trust God, but that's an act of faith. We don't see the avenue, we don't see the resolve, but God has told us in our spirit, in our own heart, I am going to take care of this. So we hold on to it. And then we wait and we watch. And God takes care of it, like he said, and we praise God for it. That's what God wants us to do, to be dependent upon him. So this man needed to have faith to trust in Jesus, and he did. And by that faith, he took action by standing up, picking up his mat, and walking. What's neat about the story about Chris and this man and others' stories, I'm sure, in our lives and your lives, is when it's something that is obvious not only to ourselves but to those around us. When others see God work on our behalf and they go, that was definitely God. That was a God thing. Praise God for that. Like this man, we have to take our eyes off our solutions. I want to stop right there. We want to have control and resolve our own situations ourselves because we think we can handle it. But God will orchestrate things in our life that we cannot handle. That requires us to let go of our self-control or trying to take control of it and shift that control to God and rely on him. And when we do that, God will show us the solution. So like this man, we have to take our eyes off solutions to the problem, the pagan pool, and put them on Jesus and trust him and his answers. We're not to look at what we think will resolve it, but we're calling on God and say, God, what will you have me to do? And I trust you to resolve it. So if you find yourself in a place where you're feeling stagnant, maybe you're feeling stagnant spiritually. Been there. We just feel like nothing's really happening spiritually in my life, right? But we can go to God and say, God, would you wake me up? Will you stir my heart? Will you show me if there's anything standing in the way of me having the abundant life that you want me to have, where I experience the power of your spirit working in my heart and in my life, where I see you and I know you better. And so we look to God, we call on him and he can instruct us. And here show us the way, because he wants us to have an abundant life. We know that. So don't remain stagnant or stuck or sleeping in the same mess. Let God dismantle and neutralize our situation. Let him take our heart and direct us in the direction he has us to go. Let us move forward in Christ Jesus. Let's experience him and his power. And don't be like this man who for 38 years threw his life away, being stuck in a situation where he's looking for a resolve that was the only resolve he had instead of calling on God. And he stayed in that situation. We're not supposed to stay there. Don't be like the man looking at the pagan pool, right? Trying to resolve his own problem his own way. But go to Jesus, stand up, take your mat and walk. God wants us to walk, not be stagnant, but to walk with him. Don't stay stuck. Move forward. Let's go to the Lord. Father, you're cautioning us in this passage of Scripture. You're showing us your love and your compassion and your power and your faith toward us. You're revealing to us, Father, that we can find ourselves getting focused on what we understand to be the solution to our problems, as opposed to relying on you, calling on you, and seeking out you to solve the problems that we're facing or to get us out of the situation that we're stuck in, to help us to be able to move forward and to walk with you in a relationship that's only growing deeper and richer and more, forgive the lack of good grammar, but to be able to live, Father, a life that's full and rich and powerful in our relationship with Jesus. That's what you want us to have, that life that's full and rich and powerful, filled in Jesus. Help us to walk and not get stuck. And when we are, Let us call on your name, for you are our God. You are our Creator. You are our Heavenly Father, and you love us, and you have compassion on us, and you have all things resolved for us. We just have to follow you and discover those ways. I just pray your honor this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.